In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear saints of God, there was a theme running in all three lessons just read. Did you notice? It is the theme of God's gifts. In the reading from Exodus, in the reading from Ephesians, and in the reading from John, in each of these readings, God is busy giving his people his gifts. Our God is a gracious giving God. There is no doubt about that. But how God's people receive his gifts, how we receive the gifts of God given to us, that can be quite a different question. Do we recognize the gifts that God gives us? Or do we grumble about them? Whether we want them or not, or whether God is giving us what we think we really need? Or do we recognize and receive that the gifts that God gives us are the gifts that we really need? The ones he gives us now and the ones he gives us for all eternity. Even if we don't understand why we're getting what we're getting. As the crowds gathered, Jesus healed the sick and he taught them that he was the Christ and he takes away their sins. And what's more, Jesus not only takes care of their spiritual needs, he also takes care of their earthly needs. As the crowds gathered there, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He feeds 5,000 men and even more women and children. Now Jesus made his way to the other side, and everyone was looking for him. And they can't figure out how Jesus got there, because they weren't in the boat to see what the disciples had seen. But what Jesus reveals to them is something most profound. It's in verse 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. These crowds want to see Jesus, but they want to see Jesus for all the wrong reasons. They were more impressed with the fact that they were able to eat from him lots of food. Now think about what it had been like back in that day, that you probably rarely ate to complete satisfaction. Food was hard to come by. It was hard to prepare food and eat a big Thanksgiving meal. You oftentimes would probably just eat what you could prepare. So when Jesus feeds 5,000 and they all ate and were satisfied, these people are thinking, why would we work for bread if we could have this guy give us our food to be satisfied without any work at all? Let's make Jesus our king. What the crowds really liked that Jesus offered was not forgiveness, was not the truth that he was the Messiah. What they liked about Jesus was that he gave them food. Not new birth, but bread. Not the needs of the soul, but only the needs of the body. They basically told Jesus that forgiveness, that Messiah, that salvation thing, that's all fine, but what's for dinner? Jesus, his highest priority is the salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins. And that's not to say that Jesus doesn't care about the needs of the body. He certainly does. But what good is food for the body if your soul perishes in unbelief? This all may sound foolish, but make no mistake, there have been millions of dollars made off of people by telling them that if they just send in their seed money out of faith, then God will bless them 4 times as much. And these false teachers bank off of people sending their earthly goods, expecting God will give them more earthly blessings. Just send us your money. God is watching. He will shower you with blessings more than you could ever imagine. And so these poor people are sending in their final dollars. Meanwhile, the pastors and preachers are flying around on their jets in their multi-million dollar homes. Now, that's easy to diagnose because anyone can see the ploy. Because it only works when people are more concerned with what God will do for them to serve the body more than he did for them to serve the soul. But we find this in ourselves as well. With our bodies, we can only go so long until our body says something is wrong. Like if we don't eat after a while, your stomach will tell you, hey, I'm hungry. Or if you have some kind of a symptom, you know you should probably go to the doctor and get things checked out. But what indicators do you have that tell you you have spiritual needs? You don't really get the same reminder like you do with your stomach when you start to get hungry, that, oh, it's time to go to church or it's time to read the Bible. Can you imagine what it'd be like if after every 6 hours or so you start thinking, boy, I really need to go somewhere where I can get the word. I'm starting to get a little woozy. I need to sit down in a pew. It's just a fact of this sinful life that we are more fixed upon earthly things than spiritual things. As the crowd was making Jesus their king so they could have their stomachs full without any work whatsoever, Jesus told them, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. The food that you should be concerned with does not spoil. It's an eternal kind of food. And they responded, well, what must we do to be doing the works of God? The crowds wanted to get in on this kind of food. And they were devising a way that they could get earthly food for free. When they find out about this heavenly food, they ask, what do I got to do? What kind of work must I perform? What kind of action must I do that I would get this eternal kind of bread, that I would achieve it? And this is when Jesus says the most beautiful thing. This is what he says. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. You see, the bread that lasts for eternal life, this forgiveness, this salvation, this freedom from bondage, is not earned by your work. It's not given because you worked for God or that he rewards you as if you've done the right thing to get it. No. Jesus says that you receive this heavenly, eternal bread, not by working for it, but by believing, by faith. It's by believing in the promise of God, by faith, by believing you partake in this heavenly, eternal food. It can't be earned. You can't work for this kind of bread. It is freely given to all simply who believe in the promises of God, those who believe in Jesus Christ, that he indeed died as a substitute for all your sins, and it's then that you feast upon this heavenly food. When Jesus tells the crowd that it wasn't Moses who provided manna in the wilderness, but God, and he sends his son down from heaven to be the bread of life for the world, the crowds ask Jesus for this kind of bread, and Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This bread of life is Jesus. That Jesus offers up his life as a ransom in our place for our sins. And Jesus now offers himself as the bread of life to us. That whenever we feast upon this word of God and we believe it, we feast upon this heavenly bread of life. When we partake of this holy supper, we're feasting upon this heavenly bread of life, and even upon our baptism. We are given the gift of faith, we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we feast upon the bread of life. This is the bread of life that lasts for all eternity. So let us not miss this great point then, in this wonderful mystery that is beyond our comprehension. that Jesus, the bread of heaven, unites himself to earthly bread so that he could be received. In the mystery of the Lord's Supper, Jesus makes himself tangible. The bread of life connects himself in a mystery to physical bread that he would be receivable. For when you come to this table and you receive into your mouth, you certainly receive bread and some wine, but that's not all you receive. What you receive into your mouth is the very body and the very blood of Jesus Christ. And if that is not enough, if it's not enough that the Son of God will be born of a virgin, live in flesh and blood, die and be bodily raised on the third day, and then with that same exalted body, unite himself to bread and wine to give it to you. If that is not enough, he gives it all to you for this reason, for the forgiveness of sins. The Lord gave us the Lord's Supper so that we would tangibly receive the forgiveness of sins. Now you see, Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago for every single sin you would ever commit. That is when your sins have been atoned for, that day outside Jerusalem. But the sins that are fresh on your mind weigh heavy on your conscience. And the devil, with his tempting, he comes along and he uses your sins of recent memory and he tries to undo the cross with them, at least in your mind. And because you can't see the forgiveness of sins, when your sins are forgiven, the lights don't flicker. There's no earthquake that occurs. So how do you know that your sins are forgiven? The sins you committed yesterday, the sins you committed even today. How do you know that those sins are forgiven? Because Christ gives you his body to eat and his blood to drink. And he says to you, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body, this is my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. So when you come up to this table and you receive Christ's body and blood into your mouth, you're receiving forgiveness today that was won 2,000 years ago. Throughout history, to the very beginning of time, God has been giving promises to mankind. And God has kept every single one of his promises. God offers his promises to you even today. The promise of the forgiveness of sins, the promise of salvation, the promise of everlasting life. And by the gift of faith, we believe these promises and inherit those very promises that Jesus gave. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Dear saints, you who are baptized, you who believe in the promises of Christ, you who partake of this Holy Supper, you will never hunger or thirst again. For the crowds ate 5 loaves and 2 fish and later became hungry. But when Jesus offers himself to you as heavenly food, it satisfies for good. It satisfies for all eternity because it forgives your sins. It relieves all guilt and it comforts the mourning soul and it gives rest to the weary. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.